Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Now partly cloudy and 77 degrees. After New York Times report said Russian spies were offering bounties to Taliban members to kill Americans, the White House says the president didn't know about them. Fox's Kevin Cork reports from Washington the head of the CIA and the director of the National Intelligence are complaining about leaks that led to the reporting.
From the director of National Intelligence, he's actually written a statement, and that statement reads in part, "The selective leaking of any classified information disrupts the vital interagency work to collect, assess, and mitigate threats and places our forces at risk. It is also, simply put, a crime." He goes on to say that investigation does continue, though it has been compromised, and he adds that the president will be briefed at an appropriate time.
Sources tell the Associated Press the White House was aware of intelligence on Russian bounties. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly is mandating that people wear masks in public beginning Friday to stop the spread of COVID-19.
The governor says this doesn't change where you can go or what you can do, but if you are around other people, you must wear a mask.
We are now trending upward, and this is not good news. As a state, we've had 210 clusters, 101 of which are currently active. These clusters account for over 6,000 cases, 440 hospitalizations, and 201 deaths.
The governor said her administration will issue specific guidelines later this week and will work with the state attorney general's office to implement the policy. She adds that local officials would enforce the policy. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
42-year-old Manuel Vargas Avila was shot and killed in Plainview Park in southeast Wichita. Police Captain Jason Stevens says the call originally came in as a stabbing after a man found the victim on a park bench.
He likely had been engaged in some sort of disturbance with multiple individuals in the park at that time and was probably shot late in the evening Saturday night and then found Sunday early afternoon.
Vargas Avila had suffered multiple gunshot wounds. Investigators believe this was not a random incident, and this was Wichita's 26th criminal homicide case this year. And a 25-year-old man was shot and killed during an argument in a driveway in northeast Wichita. Police Captain Stevens says this happened around 5 a.m. Monday, northeast of 21st and Woodlawn in the 6900 block of East Aysbury Circle. The victim and his girlfriend were at the home of a friend when two male suspects arrived.
There was a disturbance at that address over property issues, and he was shot by the unknown suspect, who was a white male in his 30s.
The victim's name has not been released. Investigators believe this was not a random incident. Wichita has now recorded 27 homicides in 26 weeks so far this year, including the last two on back-to-back days. And police are investigating another shooting that took place in Seattle's Chop Zone. Fox's Jeff Paul reports.
Enough is enough. That's the message from Seattle's chief of police as she reacts to the fourth shooting in the so-called Chop Zone in the past week and a half. The latest happening early Monday morning. Investigators responded to the scene and discovered a Jeep Cherokee covered in bullet holes. Witnesses claim several people had fired shots into the SUV. The victims, a 14-year-old male and a 16-year-old male, were eventually taken away from the Chop Zone in private vehicles. One was taken to a meeting point with Seattle Seattle Fire Department. The other was taken to the hospital. While the 14-year-old is still recovering, the 16-year-old later died at the hospital. Chief of Police Carmen Best saying they need to be able to get back into the area before the situation gets more out of hand.
A spokesman for Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin says the CHOP zone may only last a few more weeks. The CHOP zone is an occupation protest covering several blocks in Seattle. KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS, here on a Tuesday morning. Now 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Traffic this morning here in the Wichita area, things looking pretty good so far. Not seeing any big traffic slowdowns out there. Volume still light for the most part across Wichita on the highways. Not seeing any really heavy traffic volumes just yet. The gasoline prices in Wichita this morning still very unsettled. Still seeing high-end prices around the $1.95 a gallon. Seeing fewer of those, however. And 47th Street South and Hydraulic price down, and I saw that down to $1.83 a gallon this morning. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. As warm, moist air continued to lift into south-central Kansas, we were seeing a few thunderstorms develop to the south and east of us. Today really heats up, though. A heat advisory goes into effect with a high 103, the heat index 105 to 110. Warm and breezy tonight, Tarlo 74, 101 on Wednesday. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, 76 degrees. We've got a south wind gusting to 24 miles per hour. Blake Basinger sells businesses. And with the SBA CARES Act paying 6 months of payments, now is a great time to be a seller. The deadline is coming soon. If you're ready to sell your business, call Blake Basinger at 416-2000. 6:12 now, 12 minutes past 6 o'clock. Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Another hot, windy day across south-central Kansas. Monday, Wichita's high temperature was 97 degrees. Normal high for the date, 91. And as you heard a moment ago with Dan, we have a heat advisory that will be in effect until 8 o'clock tonight. So it's going to be a hot, breezy day across south-central Kansas again today. On this date in 1980, Wichita was torched by a temperature of 110 degrees. A record for the month of June. Right behind were the 27th and 26th with highs of 109. Wichita would break the 100-degree mark 46 times that summer of 1980. The heat was so hideous that from June 24th to July 20th, highs reached or exceeded 100 degrees every day except July 2nd. Had the high on July 2nd reached 100, it reached 98. Then Wichita would have set a record for more consecutive days of 100 degrees or more. With 27. It's the heat wave of 1980. It was a booger, no doubt about it. On this date of 1863, I beg your pardon, the pivotal three-day Civil War Battle of Gettysburg resulted in a Union victory. Went on for 3 days right around Independence Day. And of course, General Lee had taken his people in up north of the Capitol. They were going to come back through the northbound back into the Capitol, but the Union stopped them. I guess it's a couple of heroes in that for the Union. General Meade, for one, and Custer had a big charge at one point. George Armstrong Custer. So, what if you've ever studied it? And I know you've done some research on it, Ted, and I have. Interesting the way that played out in 3 days.
I don't know that I've done research on it, but
you saw at least
the
Burns,
the Ken Burns Civil War episode that basically focuses entirely on that battle.
Right.
Very interesting stuff.
And the battles of Little Round Top and Big Round Top. And the professor from Maine who was on one of those round tops, mm-hmm. one of those hills. What was his name? Gosh, came to the top of my mind. Lost it. Anyway, Pickett's charge down the middle. That was General Lee told him to do that.
Yeah.
General, I have no command left. What a story. Huge story.
And of course, history left to wonder, what if the Confederacy had won Gettysburg? Then they pretty much have a clear path to Washington, D.C. if they had won that battle.
Yeah, the door is open. It's not too far either.
Yeah, so you start to think about...
Here's the other thing to remember.
3 days, it may have changed the world.
Yeah, and I want to visit the battlefield before, I want to go someday. But also, you know whose farm is right there? Dwight Eisenhower bought the farm right there at Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. So the former president had a farm at Gettysburg. Anyway, he knew about his history. In fact, didn't he on some documentary, I think, took somebody for a tour. Maybe it was Walter Cronkite. Took him for a walking tour of Gettysburg. All right. Page in history for you today. The Mississippi flag is fading from public display in many places, even before the governor signs a bill that will retire the last state banner in the U.S. that includes the Confederate battle emblem. A broad coalition of legislators passed the landmark bill Sunday after a weekend of emotional debate. Yesterday, a U.S. flag fluttered outside the state Supreme Court building, and a pole for the state flag stood vacant. This is in Jackson, Mississippi. A few supporters of the flag marched outside the Mississippi Capitol with it Saturday and Sunday inside the building. Dozens of spectators cheered, and some wept with happiness after legislators voted to change the flag. So we have this going on all over the country where we're, people are reevaluating history and what we want to have for our public displays. And while we're on the topic, a quick note here, because we do have another story. Fox has a story on our news this morning about some of those kinds of challenges and changes going on.
Right.
You know, you and I went to a school called Jefferson School in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw a story today that...
Not at the same time.
No, but Jefferson School in another place, they wanted to change the name, of course, because Thomas Jefferson, third president, was a slaveholder. So maybe they'll change the name of that school we attended, Ted. It could be the Stephen Ted School. No, that wouldn't be right. Nobody'd want to go to school there.
Why not?
Stephen Ted Elementary School.
That would be great.
Well, maybe they'll name it after Sedgwick County Commissioner Pete Meitzner. Pete's going to be in the air with us this morning, later on at 7:35 this morning. Talk about that mandate of masks that the governor's come out with. Will Sedgwick County be enforcing that? We'll find out. Pete Meitzner's going to be with us here just a little more than an hour from now.
That'd be good.
On KNSS. All right, coming up on 6:18, Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and time for Leadoff Sports with Ted Woodward. Ted?
Of course, here in the United States, baseball is trying to get ready to return in July. What about, will it end up looking like games that are being played in South Korea?
South Korea's Professional Baseball League saying it'll require fans to wear masks and sit at least one seat apart and ban them from eating food in the stands. The league is preparing to bring fans back in the coming weeks in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Teams will only be allowed to sell 30% of the seats for each game. Fans also will be screened for fevers and discouraged from shouting, singing, and cheering. They'll also be allowed to only drink water or non-alcoholic beverages. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
Well, I'm not going to go to the game. Can't have any peanuts, popcorn, or cheer. I'm not going to go.
I know. They put all these restrictions on. Why would I want to pay all this money to go to a game under those conditions?
Sit there with your
mouth
shut.
I'll watch it on TV.
Watch it on TV.
Exactly.
You bet.
But some people obviously will do that.
Okay.
The National Hockey League revealing just how many players have tested positive for the coronavirus in recent weeks. Of course, the NHL is getting ready for a restart.
The NHL Monday revealing 26 players have tested positive for the coronavirus since June 8th, the start of Phase 2 of the league's return to play plan. All athletes were self-isolated and following league and public safety protocols. Now, of those 26, 15 utilized their team facilities for small group workouts as allowed by Phase 2. Meantime, reports the NHL will choose Toronto and Las Vegas as their quarantine hub cities for their restart later this summer. Boston Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy weighing in on that.
For different cities, but at the end of the day, we're going to go where they tell us and be ready to play.
The NHL is set to enter Phase 3 of their return-to-play plan. That's training camps on July 10th. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
The NBA is set to restart 1 month from today. Of course, there are fear of outbreaks in the bubble and how the NBA would react to that in Orlando. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider.
It's the one question the NBA has not answered that they haven't, it seems, wanted to box themselves in, is how many players on one team would it take for them to either end a series, to say to a team is essentially done. There are mechanisms for them to continue to bring in substitution players, but those players coming in would have to quarantine. But that's the fear. That's the ultimate fear in this great experiment, that if there was an outbreak on a team in the middle of the playoffs, how would you be able to continue?
Still questions we have are yet to be answered.
Yep.
Speaking of basketball, boy, we have a big birthday today. How about Mitch Richmond?
Wow.
He's 55 years old today. A guy that Only played 2 years at Kansas State, but boy, he piled up tons of points. He only played 2 years there, and he's still in the top 10 all-time in scoring in K-State.
Yep.
Of course, he led the Wildcats to the Elite Eight under head coach Lon Kruger. Number 5 overall draft pick by the Golden State Warriors. NBA Rookie of the Year. 6-time All-Star. His number 2 is retired with Sacramento with the Kings. His number 23 is retired up in Manhattan at K-State. He averaged 21 points per game in the NBA. Averaged 21 points a game. Guy could score. 6-time All-Star. He is in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
How about that?
Former Kansas State Wildcat Mitch Richmond celebrating a birthday today. He is 55.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sports with Steve and Ted.
All right, 10 down, 6:21. Keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Are parents concerned about their kids' screen time during the pandemic? That's coming up, Steve, at 10 in the morning on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.